Hey, this is Bob Camp, co-creator of the Ren and Stimpy Show, and you're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
It's time. Talk time. Let's go. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live. Started in the 80s with Matt Cross. Dudes in the hood might have called that soft, but I carried that cross like Jesus did. Fast forward, I teach the kids to learn how to let go, live life, and show love to all things that don't matter where y'all from. And luckily, there's a show called Talk Time. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Dax kicks the facts on all the geek news. Special guests and unbiased reviews. Suburban kids, the hipster street dudes, all can learn something new. Me too. I heard words when no faith is empty. I stayed the course, though my haters tempt me. Beep the podcast, that'll make them envy. It ain't too trendy, it's ACMG. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Anime, comics, movies, and games. Come on and let's get it. Talk time. Live.
Welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. Hope everybody has having a great weekend. I know for those who are in Philadelphia, Made in America is going on around here. So I hope they enjoyed that all in. For wrestling fans, you know, that big fight Phil was air this weekend and a monumental, legendary, historical show that has occurred for wrestling fans this weekend. So I hope they enjoyed that as well. But we also got some other fighting content to talk about. I am going to do a review of an anime that I consider a modern day classic called Megalobox, which I finally got a chance to see. It was out sometime this year, and it ended, I think, in July. So I finally got my hands on it and checked it out. And we're going to talk about that in our talk topic of the week. But right now, we have some really big, shocking news regarding a Philly figure that's been circling around. So we're going to talk about that along with some other news in our favorite fandom. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
And now, it's time to find out what's new in the world of ACMG.
Folks, let's get right to it. As I mentioned, there is some shocking news involving one of our Philly fandom public figures, and that is Jason Richardson. As you guys know, Jason, for those of you who are in Philly or the Delaware Valley area, Jason is known for creating J1 Studios, which has grown exponentially over the course of years, and among the Philly fandom community especially. He is also known, for the annual con that has also grown exponentially, and that is J1 Con, which is now been moved to New Jersey at Showboat this year on September 14th through the 16th, the same day as Keystone Comic Con. And we've talked about this con before, and you know, I've had him on the show previous times, numerous times, and I interviewed him multiple times. So I am quite familiar with Jason on so many levels, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. But as of Thursday, Jason's ex-girlfriend, Jess Caleb, posted a detailed statement regarding accusations that Jason raped and impregnated her without mutual consent. The statement is extremely long. It's getting further and further, you know, spread out and on Facebook right now. And I don't know wherever other social media outlets it is, but she wrote a very long statement, so detailed and so very detailed that I cannot speak of it in on this here. I would just say some of you may have already seen this. If you're on one of the Philly-based Facebook groups out there, that's actually that statement has been put in, and it's been spread out throughout. Almost is getting starting to spread out like wildfire in this case. The allegations of not only just, you know, the rape situation when they were dating, but also claims of infidelity of his wife and countless affairs as well. She makes as well. The post has been, like I said, has been shared everywhere at this point. Jason or his representatives have yet to make a statement on these claims, and we'll just have to see. I do know from source is that she will be publicizing this very soon. She'll be making a public statement and publishing that statement. Don't know where exactly, but I will probably more than likely get the info and the link or whatever to that once that arrives. So that's going to be interesting. It's really interesting here because I've known Jason since I used to work at a art store in Philadelphia called Pearl Arts and Craft. Of course, now defunct. It was in 1999. It was a long time ago. During that time, I think he was like a teenager, I think, or some, to some extent. He wasn't nowhere near 20 because I was like a little over 20 or something at that time. I believe it's been a long time ago. It was 1999. That was the Attitude Era. It's Generation X. What can you say? But I remember him because he would come, you know, game store that we all used to all hang out with, and pretty much almost in the same fashion that like Clerks, how Randall used to just go to the Quick Stop and then move over to the, you know, to the video store. It's pretty much like that stuff. So I would go to Pearl Arts and Craft and then head over to Got Games and chill over there. He would actually be over there as well, but then he would also come down to my job. And, you know, while I was doing cashiering or I was supervising around the customer service and, you know, stop by to talk and, you know, just ramble about what he's doing now. Pretty much the same thing what Jason does already. He pretty much, you know, talks about what he's planning, what he wants to do, stuff like that. Sells you on the things that he's trying to do. And to his credit, he gets it done. So, but also, his ex-girlfriend at the time, Jess, who I do remember, would also come with him. Like, they were kind of inseparable back then. From what I understand, she was a little bit younger than him. And it was interesting. Like, she was very shy, timid type, you know, and she just would follow him everywhere and everywhere they go to some extent. And it's very interesting that she is, I mean, this is years later now, so she is an adult. And, you know, now she has a voice, and that voice is actually explaining her view of what happened in that relationship. This is going to be interesting because, I mean, Jason, I've known for a lot of things. I mean, some good and some bad, and especially depending on who you speak with. But nonetheless, I have never in my dreams thought that this type of speculation or anything would come up in such a detailed fashion too. I mean, she goes on to go on dates, like actual dates of when and where and what happened. So it's very well detailed, and it's we're gonna have to see, because this, once you make that statement out there, I mean, you're taking a big risk and a sense of bravery in some cases to do that, you know. So it's really going to be crazy. It's hard for me to say whether me personally, because I've known him, whether he's capable of or not. I can never know. You can never know unless, like, you're real. The only way you would know, and I'm not, you know, I'm not actually like best friends with him. I've known him for years, but I haven't hung around him enough to know whether he has been capable or is he capable of doing whatever. So I'm at a standstill here. I'm in a neutral zone here in this case. But it's going to be very interesting to see what evidence comes up, what other situations, how big is this going to be, how this will affect J1 Con in 2 weeks is also a case. And, you know, the fact that it was being released right now, you know, we're heading down to the zone of that event. This is going to be interesting to see how this affects that con and whatnot, but also how this will affect people's judgments and other things and such. And I can tell you now, from what I've seen on certain remarks, there are people who are like shocked, surprised, and partially, or to some extent, pissed. If you just base it on comments and emojis alone on Facebook. But this is going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he's going to, you know, do a rebuttal on this and see where it goes from here. Because, I mean, who's to say? Like I said, it's like you can only know somebody but for so long. I've interviewed Jason many a times. I've, you know, hung around him for a bit, but I've never really I hung around him from a standpoint of just hanging around on during lunch periods back in the day when I was at, working at Pearl, or you know when we, you know when I interviewed him for some, you know, and that's the thing. It's hard to call it a total friendship because of the fact that whenever we talk, it's only about his, you know, sell point. It's always about what he's doing. And I gotten some type of intimate tidbits with him on occasions, but most of it is just like, you know, what he's doing, what he wants to do, what he, you know, what he wants to work with me with on doing and stuff like that. But it's never really an intimate personal type of relationship for me to really say, like, to really defend him on this at this point. But nonetheless, well, I mean, this is no different. This is like, I mean, I can't be surprised or shocked in this case because I've done so many situations. I've been in so many situations, if you will, where people that I rather been proud of, admired, or respected have turned into something crazy. That one of them was Bill Cosby, believe it or not. As a graphic designer or multimedia developer for Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, I actually did work for a promotional work for an event that Bill Cosby did way back before the allegations, before all of this actually happened. So you can only imagine how proud I was that I, you know, one of the biggest projects I was done was involving one of the biggest comedic icons and TV icons in the world. Not only that, I got tickets to, you know, see his show front row and all types of stuff from that event, and I was very proud that day because it was a pretty much a milestone, you know, situation. Only for it to be tarnished now. You know, I actually, you know, I did website promos and everything, just really great, like gave it a top-notch feel and look, and then all these allegations came out. We had to take all of it down. I had to take it down. I couldn't use it as reference or anything. It was just, I was so devastated by that because it was like, it was one of those big proud moments, and I was heartbroken. I was extremely heartbroken, especially for the fact I was also working at another job that really didn't value me as much. So for that to happen was a big deal, and for that to be tarnished, you can only imagine. So, I mean, that was one. And the other one was like Rob Feinstein. If you're a wrestling fan, you know that name. The owner of RF Video and the former and founder, co-founder, actually, of Ring of Honor, which is now one of the biggest companies ever. But he, you know, I've met him quite a few times, and he always appeared nice to everybody and, you know, shook everybody's hand and talked to people and stuff like that whenever. Came off very humble guy, and then one day I watched Channel 10 News here in Philadelphia, and come to find out they have actual video footage of him trying to pursue a minor. So it was like, which that scandal almost killed that wrestling organization. With that said, thank you, Kari Silken, for saving that company, and now is where it is right now. Because if not for him, that company would have been demolished because of the situation. And it just reminds me of, like, if anything develops with Jason's situation, that same thing can happen. That very same thing can happen. Like, J1 Studios can fall apart right there if any of this is true. So it'll be interesting to see what occurs, what happens, and how this will go out. And of course, we will continue this as things develop here at Talk Time Live. So that took a lot of me to talk about, people, because I mean, it's just you never getting into this type of business and media and press and all the stuff. You know, since I've started ACMG, I've had some great things happen. I've been blessed with a lot of things. And then there are those other situations and situations like this that come by, and it's like, I can't believe this. Just what the hell? You know, it's surreal. So, like I said, we'll continue things as it develops, and we'll keep you in tune indefinite. So stay tuned for more on that. So let's turn the bass up, because the rest of the news I actually have is more like video game news. So consider this almost a Select Start Podcast Lite episode here. So Trinket Studios, you guys I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that interview, but I interviewed Tom Eastman. He's the president of Trinket Studios, who created Battle Chef Brigade, actually, which is a great, absolutely great puzzle game that came out some time ago for the Nintendo Switch. It's a game that meets RPG action, 2D side-scrolling, and culinary. It's crazy. It's in like almost think Puzzle Quest, but also with side-scrolling action, and then also Master Chef, you know, added to it. And it's such a crazy storyline, great characters, all this stuff. So we got to talk to him about that. But recently, I just saw a commercial on Cartoon Network over the weekend that announced that it's going to be on the Steam and PlayStation 4. And I got to say, if you own either or, go get it. It is such a fun game. It's a different take on, you know, puzzle games. It's a very hybrid type of experience. And now they've updated it. So it's now called Battle Chef Brigade Deluxe, which is adding on a lot of different features and including a new, what is it, new modes, added characters that you can use, and as well a new animated intro, which looks phenomenal. Like, so, and remember, this is Adult Swim Games that this is on too. So that's what even makes it special. And the fact that they made an animated intro, I seriously want to see this as an animated series, because this is a great, like, I talked about Blade Strangers on Select Start, the new fighting game that's out right now that came out for the Switch just recently, and I believe on other consoles too. But they dropped the ball as far as character development and getting you to understand and know these characters, whereas Battle Chef Brigade, it really gets you, the story is so great, it really gets you in tune with the characters like Mina and what is the other guy, Thrash, and all the other characters in there, and just following their journey to becoming a Battle Chef Brigade and you going to these challenges and everything. They did a phenomenal job with this. I even if you're not a puzzle fan, but you may be a 2D side-scrolling fan, this may be for you. I mean, like, honestly, this is worth checking out. So it's out now. If you own the game already, you get this update for free. But if not, you'll be paying for this update as well. So, you know, thank you, Trinket Studios. I mean, this is a great effort, and I hopefully you guys will come out with a sequel to this. And if so, I will gladly want you to come back on the show to talk about that and much, much more what you're going, because this was just, so it just was phenomenal work. And I think there's not that many people in that company that they did to put this together, if I remember correctly from what Tom said. But kudos to them. Go out of your way to check it out. It's a great game. You won't go wrong. Worth it. And it's not, I believe it's under $20 too, if I'm correct. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've paid for it. But it is, and that's the part I hate. They don't really, whenever you buy something on a Nintendo Switch, they don't, or a PlayStation 4, they don't tell you the price once you do it. And you kind of sometimes want to know the price of things. So you got to go online to the websites to find out what it is. But I believe it is, like, if not a little bit over 20, it's like under 20 for this game, but it's worth it nonetheless. So, it's worth it way more. I'd rather pay for this than play for a free to play game, which also Shigeru Miyamoto also agrees with me as well. So apparently, Shigeru Miyamoto, who is the legendary game developer and the creator of Mario, has made a statement criticizing the free-to-play model. Now, I could not be more happier to hear that this news, because if you've listened to the show before, you know my disdain for freemiums or free-to-play games or anything with in-app purchases or whatever like that. And he goes on to talk about how the model is really damaging the industry and the integrity. A lot of what he said is the same thing what I said. So I, you know, couldn't be more happy that the legendary Miyamoto son agreed with me on this. But also, he thinks that you should not do free to play. Instead, you should make the games reasonably priced for everybody to buy. And I extremely agree with that. Like, there's some, the bad part is because this gimmick is in here, it takes away the integrity of how good the game probably is. And there are some really good free-to-play games out there. There are some great experiences out there. I remember when I first started buying mobile games, I was really infatuated with mobile games until a game company named Gameville or Game Evil, depending on how you want to pronounce it, made games that were uberly hard, and you had to start bringing it. They forced you to get money in to, I mean, this is when, before everybody started realizing how scammy and carny, you know, these games were and how much they were trying to suck your money in. But with that said, to their credit, they made some really fun games. They had a baseball, really addictive baseball game that that I was playing every year. But every once in a while, the memory would go away, and then I had to buy everything all over again. So I'm like, okay, how much is this a mistake, or how much is this actually, you know, legit, you know, to that extent? So I'm like, I've decided to, you know, stay away from all free to play or all mobile games that I don't pay full price for and I get the full experience. So there are games on mobile that you can play, you know, that you do pay like $13.99 or $14.99, like Square Enix games. You could pay like a certain amount for that and get the entire experience. You get the full Final Fantasy series for a substantial amount, and you get to play it to your leisure. And I love that. I'd rather have it that way than, you know, do it the way that they're doing it now. So I thank you, Miyamoto-san. Arigato gozaimasu for that one. Because, I mean, I really hate it. And I hope this leads to really them stopping this, because it has to eventually. It has to. I know Fortnite is a great deal, and I played Fortnite. It is somewhat fun, but I immediately got out of it when I just decided I'm tired of getting hit so easily. So, you know, they only give it a chance to lose like HP or whatever like that. It's like, if you get hit, you hit, man. Or if you get hit, you're dragging on your feet to that point. I'm not good at Fortnite at all. So, but yeah, that's really, that's really the case with that. So I do appreciate his sentiment on that and his opinion on that. So I know Reggie from, I always butcher his name, but Reggie. I'll just put it Reggie because you guys know who it is. If you're a Nintendo fan, you know Reggie. But he does see an opposite opinion on it. It feels like it gets a bad rap at times, and feel that there may be just a need to be a restructuring of it. I just say get rid of it, period. So that's my cue on that. But Nintendo is not only focusing on a free-to-play debate, they're also looking to shut down people who are trying to copyright and take their copyright and of creation and patent. You know, they recently shut down, there are reports that they actually shut down Pokemon Essentials, which was a fan creation tool that people can use to create their own Pokemon world. Now, Nintendo claims that it was infringing on the copyright restrictions, that there was a lot of things in there that were, you know, already registered, and that they would need, you know, they would have to authorize for people to use. Whoever is in charge of that did actually infringe. He did infringe in that, and started using, you know, a lot of things that were elements of theirs, and they have every right to. They've also, Pokemon Essentials also had a wiki page that they also shut down as well. We had this talk because Demetrius Covington, I believe his name is, in our ACMG Facebook group, posted it. And the thing was, is that he felt that it wasn't right to do, or they were being stingy or greedy about it. I'm like, no, this is not. If anybody owns anything, if you own, like, I mean, honestly, no offense to Demetrius, but he's speaking from a guy who's never done, he's never created anything, or he's never owned his own business and never created his own product to sell. And, you know, and if anything, successfully, because if that's the case, I mean, like, if you did, you would not disagree with this. If you worked your ass off for years to create something special, like, say, ACMG, say the Omega Fist Tournament, say Talk Time Live, you know, and then you got somebody coming in to try to mimic exactly what you're doing or do things to infringe, and they weren't selling it, to take note. They were giving it away for free for people to learn how to put it together. So they had the free reign. But again, I agree with Nintendo on this. I'm siding with them. You know, you work all these years to make this happen. You make a lot of money to do it. And if you want to, you will authorize people to do so. But they feel that they don't want to, and they have every right to. it's not for them to do. If people want to learn how to build Pokemon, they need to invest in working to Nintendo. Or if they do like Epic Games, Unreal, you know, the company Unreal, who does release their Unreal Engine to anybody to create anything on, you know, but that's their prerogative. That's what they want to do. That's their decision. They want people to create. Nintendo does not, because they feel that the trademark is very special. Game Freak has worked their asses off to create a legacy from this. And there's not one person that didn't agree with me on this. There were people that also chimed in a post that also agreed. It just makes sense. It's business 101. When you register a trademark or copyright, you have the right to fight and shut down anything that comes close to what you've done, or what it looks like that you've done, or what format that you've done. That's just plain and simple. I truly believe people need to, you know, invest in understanding the copyright and trademark, you know, laws, because you can't. I don't understand. I didn't understand his case of saying that they were too greedy or too stingy. No, they're protecting their brand. And protecting your brand is a very important thing. As a multimedia developer who actually creates brands for people, I totally understand, and I tell my clients all the time, register this, trademark that, copyright this. Anybody touches you, you get a lawyer, you get, you know, and protect your neck, pretty much. That's just the way of the world, man. And that's the way it, and it's done for a reason, because you don't want people to copy it all. I've had people say that they were going to do an ACMG version of something. I'm like, no, you're not. Absolutely not. This thing is copyrighted. I dare you to try. Don't even think about it. You know, it will get insanely real if you even try to mimic any of my work that I worked hard for years and put together and done. And you, for you to just piggyback off of and do. No, that does not happen. You will not lay claim to the name or the fame without the gain. That's just plain and simple. That's just the way it is. So, you know, I am totally on the side of Nintendo on this, and, you know, that's just it. They got it shut down. And if it got shut down, if they absolutely got down, shut down, here's the deal. For it to actually get shut down, they would have had to go to court, get a court order to have it shut down. And if the judge sees fit that it is infringing on their copyright or trademark or patent, they will agree to this and have it ordered to shut down. If the judge and defendants or whatever doesn't see fit that it doesn't, you know, that it doesn't infringe, then they will say, no, it's totally all right for him to do that. But they found something in there that indeed proved that it was infringed. So it's not like they just came out and just said, oh, we're just going to shut you down. No, there's some legal taxes they had to go through. So they had to go through all the proper channels to go and make this happen. And once it was proven, they could do it. And they did it. So it's not just them. It's the courts that as well. It's the law pretty much that said that they couldn't do it. So, sorry. That's just the way it is. I mean, the best advice I could tell people, take a business class. Find out why. Everything about it makes a lot of sense there. So, next bit of news, and the last bit of news before we go into our talk topic. Not too much news going on today in this world, and maybe it's because we're waiting for next week, because you know what next week is. There's so much we're going to be reviewing next week. Spider-Man's coming, which probably won't be till the week after because it's on a September 7th, but also Iron Fist is coming, so that's going to be next week's show, people. I got to watch Iron Fist and play Spider-Man on the same day. That's how I roll, pretty much. But last bit of news is that DC Universe is coming very soon, and they gave us a sneak preview of Young Justice Outsiders, and it showed a clip of Nightwing in some type of a sort of kind of a stealth ninja gear. He wasn't Nightwing gear, but he was on a comm talking with people, and some of the other heroes was invading territory or whatnot. The art style looks good. The animation looks phenomenal, is what we all expected. Robin's a complete adult at this point. Like, he's just, this is the one thing that made this show so great, because unlike other shows in America, you don't see them grow up. I mean, they kind of went into the direction of anime, where anime always evolved. If you watch Dragon Ball Z for like ever, you see that they evolved. Naruto at the same thing. Some of the best anime, legendary animes ever, are, you know, have the characters grow from kid to adult. So you got to see all of them, like Goku from day one and then grow up into an adult, you know, get married, had kids, their kids have kids and so forth and so on. Naruto as well. Naruto is now, you know, the Hokage, and he had Boruto and a few other kids from Hinata. And, you know, it just keeps going. I love that. That's awesome. Now, Young Justice has done a great job doing the same thing as well. So, it's, of course, it's going to be exclusive to the DC Universe streaming app, and I still don't see me getting it at this point unless I get rid of another version. But I'm looking forward to seeing what people got to say about the app, and it looks starting to look promising. As I reported last time, Kevin Smith is going to be doing the Daily Show for that deal, doing a daily report of things to come, whether movie, film, animation-wise, anything regarding DC is going to happen. I love Kevin Smith because it doesn't matter. He's just a comic book fan, so he'll work for anybody. You'll probably see him in Marvel about a year from now, too. But, yeah, he's awesome that way, and they couldn't have found a better host to do it, and especially considering the new version of Kevin Smith, who looks phenomenal in healthy shape, you know, post-heart attack situation. So I'm very extremely happy for him. He looks phenomenal. Hope he keeps up the great work, and he knows how blessed he is. He absolutely knows how blessed he is, even to this day. He's very humble, and I do admire that, and that's why he's one of my, you know, directorial heroes, if you will. And so I'm, you know, maybe I'll pay for a month of it just to watch Young Justice, and so I could do a reporter. That might be the idea there. Just get in and get out real quick. So we'll see. We'll see as time goes by. But ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for what's new in the world of ACMG. We're going to take a break, come back, and review what I believe is the must-see anime modern-day classic, Megalobox. We'll do that right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Hebert, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on Talk Time Live.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go, and you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
And now, it's time for your talk topic of the week. Ready? Fight!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with our talk topic of the week, and it is our review of the new age classic, Megalobox, a boxing anime, if you will, sports anime, if you will, that I... I'm going to call the, like, this is their version of Rocky. This is as close to Rocky as you're going to get in anime. And I thought that was to Hime no Ippo, which is one of my favorite animes of all time, boxing animes, if you will. But this one right here, man, this is a great runner-up. Ah, man, this was really great. Basically, this is a futuristic, you know, sports anime. And every once in a while, I do love sports animes, like whether it's wrestling or, you know, I've, you know, that was a great one. What was it? Kinnikuman was a great one. What's the other one that I used to watch? Tiger Mask W, which is out in Japan, which is based on the New Japan Pro Wrestling circuit out there. And then also, you know, Hime no Ippo and Battle Athletes. And every once in a while, there's some really great sports animes that really grab your attention. This was no different. And this one, not just for the fact of the premise of it or the fact that it's boxing, but this was a throwback anime, and I mean in every sense. I mean, it's already considered a classic by everybody who's watched it, and it just premiered this year. And it's an anime that was meant to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the boxing anime classic Ashita no Joe, translated as Tomorrow Joe, and in some cases it's called Champion Joe, or as some people would call it. And it's an awesome tale of the underground kid trying to move up in the ranks. and the best way they can. So the story is based up. Let me just tell you the story real quick. The story is based not in the same timeline as Tomorrow Joe, but in the future, it looks like. And they never really say whether it's connected, but we're going to assume that it's connected to that universe still. But it's in a future where the state of traditional boxing has evolved thanks to the use of gears. These kind of, you know, mechanical devices that they use around their entire shoulders and arms, and they call them gears, which is which allows the wearer to increase power, agility, and the ability to of a definitive knockout. In the meantime, in this timeline, the main character, who's a mysterious boxer, they go by the name of Junk Dog. I don't know where they came up with that name, but instead of Junkyard Dog, but let's just go with that. Junk Dog, who fights in underground fighting leagues, and his role is that of the jobber. Now, if you don't know what a jobber is, it's a wrestling term. I use the term jobber because it means the same situation here. But it's a wrestling term for a person who is meant to, you know, or is orchestrating a loss, you know, there. So he's there to throw the fight. He's pretty much there to take a dive, pretty much. But, you know, he is always there to take a dive. He's never meant to win all the time, but he always puts up a great fight. So, you know, those are in the wrestling, you know, universe, they call it, or industry for that matter, they call it a jobber. So that's pretty much what he is here. So he's a jobber for the mob. He puts up a great fight. He's actually a tremendous fighter, but I mean, he's definitely great enough to be able to, you know, put up a good fight. And then when the time comes, he goes out with the count and allows the win to happen. So at any time, he can actually beat any of the fighters that he wants. But for the sake of the pursuer that will be the mob boss that they're under, he has to take a dive, and according to his manager or his coach for that matter, which is what is his name, Gansuku Nabu, who is who orders him to by the mob to take a dead end. So and Nanbu actually owes a big debt to the mob as well, so that doesn't help his case either. So they're working as a team, which they call themselves Team Nowhere, and they basically, you know, they just keep doing jobs for the mob, let the mob make money off them, and that's pretty much it. So business picks up in the story where Junk Dog gets into a motorcycle accident, almost hitting Yukiko Shirado, who is like the head of Shirado, the Shirado group, which oversees an ultimate boxing competition known as the Megalonia Tournament. Again, I don't know where to get these names from, but he also has his first encounter with her champion, her slash bodyguard, and representative of the Gears Project, which is, his name is Yuri. Yuri is, of course, the badass looking dude, but he's also the top of the food chain. He's the final boss, if you will, of the show. And by the way, the story premise and everything really can come off as a great video game if they ever sought out to do so. I mean, I can really see them doing a game for this. It's really awesome. But Yuri was selected and trained to not only dominate the tournament, but to demonstrate the power of the gears, which will be sold at which they're looking to sell as patent to military groups and out there. So Junk Dog and Yuri meet again in the underground fights, where he challenged Junk Dog to enter the tournament and meet him in the finals. In order to do this, however, there's a dilemma. Junk Dog has to enter the actual tournament with a fake ID because he's an illegal alien, so to speak. And he actually, Nanbu actually convinced the mob boss to his mob boss Fujimaki actually to forge an ID so he could enter the ring. Now Junk Dog enters the new tournament under the fake name alias Joe, which the intentions of fighting Yuri and winning the tournament. Not only that he will do so, but without the use of gears, earning the name Gearless Joe. Meanwhile, boss Fujimaki has intentions to bank in on this, and it wants Joe to actually take a dive at the end of the tournament. The question is, will he do it? And that's where the premise of this series lies. And it really is. The great part about this is not only just the premise of it, it's really great. It's fresh. It feels fresh. I mean, you've heard a bunch of tales in boxing before, but nothing like this. And it's a great new storyline for boxing, and it really takes a, you know, a good ride to the journey of Joe or Junk Dog, if you were to, whichever you want to call him, and see how he grows from this. And the idea is also to actually celebrate true boxing in its form, and that Joe's belief is that you don't need the gears. You just need to have a good fighting spirit and go for it. You don't need these gears to have a good, you know, have a good fight. And that's what he was out to prove. So he decided to opt out to use the gears. Not to mention the gears that he had were like cheap, like were very cheap and cheaply done compared to like the state-of-the-art gears that all the other, you know, fighters were having. So he went off on his own without the gears, fighting all these other people with gears. So he got his ass whooped plenty before he got up to that point. But he is a genius boxer, and he managed to, you know, he manages to find a way somehow. And there are some bumps in the road going on in here too. So there's a lot of things that goes into this, but the feel of this anime and the way it's drawn out, the drama effect that it has in here, it's phenomenal. This is one of those series that can be shown on primetime television, and I felt like I was watching anything that you would normally watch in America on like 10 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night or whatever like that. It's really that good. They took it very seriously. I hope that there will be an English dub version in there. Like, I couldn't do any. I was so drawn into this, and I'm barely drawn into subtitles like that because I'm usually multitasking at the time. That's why I hate subtitles, because I'm usually doing other things. But I could not do anything else and not watch this anime here. And this is a rare. That was a rare thing. I haven't done that in a long time. So that was, I mean, I love it there. The characters are also great too, and really good to follow. I mean, let's talk Junk Dog, or Gearless Joe, for that matter. He's a character that, you know, has an essence of Spike from Cowboy Bebop, Mugen from Samurai Champloo. In fact, the entire anime feel almost kind of pays homage, and I don't know if it's by the same people who did Cowboy Bebop or Samurai Champloo, but it does have the look feel of it. It's really great. He does have that, you know, Spike type of feel to it. He's a really cocky, you know, standoffish type of character in there, so he plays right into it, and he's really rebellious, and he believes of the heart of hearts of what he believes. So he's a true fighter at all else in here. Nenbu, which is the coach, he plays a gutless coward at first, but somehow he finds his dignity in all of this, and you also follow that path that he goes into of changing his morality around. So you get to like somewhat dislike him at first, but didn't start to, you know, get into it, but understand why he's doing everything that he's doing. And it does flesh out after a while of his actual intentions and why he's done things the way he's done. And he lost the respect. He had no respect from the mob boss in the first place, who never really thought of him as a real coach, but just a person to just direct, you know, do what he needs to be done. So you got that Yuri, which I say was the final boss of this, the champion of the Megalonia tournament. And he comes off kind of Vegeta-like. That's the vibe I got from him. He's a very Vegeta-like character. And his rivalry helped encourage Joe to keep on going no matter what. So he wasn't necessarily really an antagonist per se, but he was, you know, there was no need for one. I mean, he was there for a set reason. He wasn't going to try to, you know, he was never there to stop him from getting to the tournament. In fact, he, by Joe making it to the tournament, he encouraged him as well. I mean, so they had this respectful rivalry with each other that they were able to, you know, feed off of each other. You know, and I've seen that before. I've seen that many times. This is iron sharpens iron in such a different way. But It's one of those type of things where you have this rivalry, you both are great talents, and you just develop such a respect for each other, regardless of the fact that there is a competition going on, and you have deep respect for the competition, as well as the person in front of your face, and in front of your gloves. So I dig that he wasn't your cliche guy trying to stop him from, you know, entering the tournament. In fact, he encouraged him many a times, you better make it. You better make it. And because he saw something in Joe that obviously nobody else was seeing before, and especially Yukiku, who was more, you know, more on trying to sell the gear project than anything, and wanted to prove that the gears are far more better than traditional boxing. And that's pretty much where that kicked in from there. So you had that, and then Makiko Shirato, which is the brother of Yukiko. And I actually liked him, and he was on for like maybe an episode or two. And I liked him for a reason, and that episode, those episodes actually stood out for a reason, and that basically is because his role was that he wasn't the owner of the Shirata group, and instead it was inherited to her, and for a reason it was not for her brother. Well, her brother was trying to, you know, create his own type of gear concept, which consisted of artificial intelligence gears, which means that he had the ability to telegraph his movements as well as the boxer's movement to ensure a win in the match. So that was that right there. And then also, he, out of all the characters, he was the one that was really looking out to stop Joe from making it in a tournament in some form or fashion. So I won't spoil it for you, but if you haven't seen it, go out of your way. You'll see what I'm talking about there. But he was very instrumental. He was a very significant part of the 13 episodes series in there. And then, you know, you got the kid, Sashio, which is like an adopted kid, an abandoned kid. There was a bunch of abandoned kids, you know, in the area. This is like a really, you know, third world like environment that they lived in. So, you know, the kids were homeless or parentless or whatever like that. And they actually took him under his wing. And at the same time, he became sort of the spirit of Team Nowhere in there. So, I mean, those are the characters you definitely going to look out for. And plus, there are other characters in the anime that is, you know, really memorable. It really comes off, like I said, it comes off like a video game in a sense with this, because he's moving a different level up in a tournament, and you got these very cool designed looking characters, these character developed characters in here that are absolutely awesome looking, and they look like they will be in a punch out game, but just with gears, with, you know, gears in their hands, and Joe's playing the, you know, he's playing that character. So, It's really cool to see. The art style of animation is really significant here, because, and I remember I said it was a great throwback from the days of the 80s and the 90s. The whole entire series looks like it's been traditionally hand-drawn. I don't know how much they... It didn't look like it was done by computer at all. If they found a way to do it that way and they made it to look like that, kudos to them, because this anime looked like an old school, old style anime from the 80s and the 90s, like we used to watch. And there was, it looked like no hints of any computer generated anything in here. It looked like it was, it looked so beautiful. And it just reminded me of how great anime was back then. Like, even in 1986, when Fist of the North Star came out, it looked absolutely stunning. It was ahead of its time. And it was all hand drawn. So when they finally made it to computers, I was kind of sad. It still looks absolutely great in comparison, especially to anything that we make in America. But I felt like there was a lot of attention to detail lost in some of the anime because they reverted to, you know, some CGI and then some computer drawn. So you kind of take that detail out in the process. But like what you saw with Megalo Box. It looks so great. It looks beautiful, and kudos to them for doing that as well. And it looked like it just paid homage to the glory days of that era of anime in that place. And it still has legs to stand on. I mean, I really did enjoy it. What also did I enjoy too was, in fact, the soundtrack, which I gotta say is probably the best soundtrack I've heard since Macross Plus. And there were a lot of great anime soundtracks back then, but Macross Plus holds heavy in a lot of otaku hearts out there. It was very powerful. This is the same thing, but they use a hip-hop artist named Mabano. I believe it's called, his name is Mabano, if I'm pronouncing that right. But he has, the grittiness and intensity that he uses in composing that he does for the hip-hop scores is really great. And there's some actual episodes where you hear some freestyling from a female rap artist that they have not announced who that was, but she was phenomenal. There's one particular one where the kid is actually, you know, he's actually, you know, spitting lyrics out. And it's all like, it's really well put together. Like, I think hip hop was a great added element to this show. And it really gave the hardcore almost in the same fashion like Creed did, you know, what Ryan Coogler did with Creed and such, and adding all the soundtrack, you know, elements to that. It just really helped out majorly. And whoever that female was, now hopefully I can find out soon, she was no joke. She really brought it. She really brought that energy in. And the soundtrack is phenomenal. I mean, I would say if you're going to check this anime out, you also need to go out of your way to check out the soundtrack as well. So, you know, it's really great. The soundtrack itself is just pretty sick. Just overall, I absolutely loved it. Every episode. Again, I hope they do eventually bring this into dub, because there's a lot of great talent in our country that will benefit from doing this deal. And hell, if they do that, hopefully I can find out who it is and get them on the show soon. But this was great. I highly recommend this to anybody who's fans of boxing, who's fans of the combat sport, who likes old school hand drawn anime, who loves Cowboy Bebop or Samurai Champloo, Trigun. I mean, stuff like that. It's going to be in that list. This is an instant classic hit. I don't know if they're going to do another season, because the way that it went, it leaves it open. It leaves it skepticism as well as to whether they're going to do it. But again, I won't spoil that. But I would definitely say go out of your way to check it out. It's awesome. And I was very happy to get a chance to see it. And it just makes you feel good to be a fan these days, because you get to see stuff like that. So go out of your way. Check out Megalobox. I believe it's on Crunchyroll. You could get it on, digital. You can find it in a lot of places. But, go out of your way to check it out. It's definitely worth doing. And ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the Prime Show. Thank you so much. And we will definitely check with you next week. Again, Spider-Man, the game, PlayStation, September 7th, all over everywhere. If you have ordered digitally, if you pre-ordered digitally, they did announce on Twitter that you will be able to preload the game on the 5th, so which is a Wednesday. So if you turn on your PlayStation 4, put it on sleep mode, whatnot, and make sure that it's totally downloaded, because 12 o'clock at night on Thursday night into Friday, you should be ready to play that game. So, but not only that, we won't do a review on that because it's coming out on Friday, and 9 chances out of 10, I will be doing a Select Start show way before that. But what I will do for Select Start, in honor of the Spider-Man game that's coming out, I've been posting and doing a bunch of really interesting promos covering the history of Spider-Man. So I'm going to probably do the top 5 Spider-Man games, best Spider-Man games of the bunch, and talk about those as well. So in honor of that, and then next week's episode, not only is Spider-Man coming out, as I said, Iron Fist is coming this Friday on Netflix. So get ready, and we'll see if they were able to, you know, redeem themselves and follow up with that. We saw a tidbit of it on Luke Cage. This actually makes me want to watch Luke Cage again to see how, if this is going to connect any possible way to Luke Cage, if Luke Cage is going to appear in this season or whatnot. But Finn Jones is looking like he's starting to shape up into that form. He seems like he's getting real comfortable, and we saw a tidbit of that on the Heroes for Hire episode of Luke Cage. So I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to playing Spider-Man. Anything else that goes on in the world, if we got any more tidbits of news on anything, we'll definitely let you know right here on Talk Time Live. So that'll do it for now. On behalf of myself, all I gotta say is learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. We are out of here. Take care. Have a great week. This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.